A reading from the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was over the face of the earth, of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was an evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from waters." This is the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the author and the creator of everything. May we find a place to be in awe of your creation. There's no escaping it because we're in it and we're part of it. And we love you and we thank you. And it's in your heavenly name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Rudy. Good morning. Happy New Year. Hope you guys are doing well. I want to say hello to my online peeps because I got to be with them last week to watch the service. Thank you, Paul and the guys, for holding down the fort while my family was out battling COVID. But we're back and ready to go in 2022. Now, when you think back on 2021, what expression comes to your face? Like, is it a smile? Is it kind of a smirk? Is it like an angry scowl? Do tears start flowing? Like when you think back on 2021, what emotions are there? Because isn't this like the perfect time? Like after the new year kind of institutes in us this desire to look back and kind of look ahead to things and actually make changes in some of those things. I don't know why. I guess it's just like the calendar flipping, which we don't even do anymore. Our phones just do that for us. But something in our minds make this the perfect time to reflect. And when I think back on 2021, I smile. I just think it was great. I just think there were hard times, there were challenges, but man, so many people got baptized this year, started their walk with Jesus Christ and in new and fresh ways. We had people going through discipleship this year. We had path groups just loving on one another, encouraging one another. That just makes me smile. I think back to things like VBS this summer, where the whole church turned into this just like wonderland of stuff. Ms. Garraway and her science garb doing experiments all over the place and just Beacon, the toucan, talking to people. I think back to like family camp where we almost died in the monsoon in the midst of the water. I think of family fun days. Anybody splash day this summer? We had slip and slides. We had the fire truck come out. And some of y'all like reverted back to childhood. All of us adults were out there playing in the fire, like the fire truck shooting stuff out there. That was awesome. We just had a blast, just taking slides, slipping slides. I think kids slip and slide for like 3 hours straight, it felt like, that day. It was just such a fun day to get together. I think of stuff like Night in Bethlehem, and maybe it's too soon for that, but Night in Bethlehem, where just thousands of people got to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and just all the things that God has done this year, just faithful. He's so faithful to us. He's been just so good to us. That doesn't mean there haven't been struggles. That doesn't mean that people haven't gotten cancer and are battling through it and fighting through it. But even in that, we know that God is good. Amen? Do you believe that? If God is good in 2021, is he going to be good in 2022? Yes. Yeah, so as we look ahead and we start thinking about life in 2022, I hope that as you start thinking ahead that God begins to give you a word and give you some scripture to kind of point you in that direction. And for me, as I've been just praying and thinking about what does God have for us in 2022, the God of Revival song just keeps coming to my head. Like, what would revival look like in our lives, in our homes, in our church, in our community in 2022? What would it look like for people to really make more of Jesus and less of us in this upcoming year? And as I was sitting there, because I had a lot of time in the last week to kind of sit around and be in my house, right? Because we were quarantining away from people, this question kept coming to my mind is, what is the best version of me? And the question that I kept asking God was, what is the best version of Chris Smith? And I would ask you that question. What's the best version of you? What's the best Dante? Right? What is the best version of Chris? What's the best version of Yasha? What is the best version of you in this upcoming year? And how can we get there? And I started thinking about that in my life and my mind, and a couple of things came to my mind. The first thing was this: if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you cannot separate your relationship from God from that situation. You and God have intertwined your lives together, and your relationship with Jesus Christ is going to be the fuel behind revival in your life. Because as a believer of Christ, we have become one with Him. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. We are the temple of God. And so we have an opportunity this year through our relationship with Jesus Christ to bring about revival and bring about hope and joy and the fruit of the Spirit in our life. And so as I started thinking about this question, we're getting ready to go in the book of Exodus. And as Jonathan said, we're not even in Exodus today because we're going to cover most of the book of Genesis, kind of. We're really the first 11 chapters of Genesis together, right? And we're really setting the table over these next 2 weeks to get ready to jump in Exodus, right? We got to get the tablecloth on, the dishes on the table, the silverware out. We got to load the food on the table before we can truly eat out of the book of Exodus. So these next 2 weeks, we're going to just fly through the book of Genesis, kind of getting yourself ready. So you might be like, wait, don't we normally read every single scripture of the entire book? Yes, but that would be a long. So you have homework. Over the next couple of weeks, I want to encourage you to read the book of Genesis. You're like, I'm not a reader. It's okay. Your phone will read it to you, right? When you're going to work or you're taking that walk because it's New Year's and all of us have made that resolution that we want a little bit less of us and more of Jesus, but less of us, right? That means this week I'm going to work out. So while I'm working out for just this week only, because I know myself, right? But as I'm working out for this week, what if I put on the book of Genesis? Right, to let myself like be immersed in the Word of God in the beginning. Because I don't know if you knew this, but the word Genesis is actually the Greek word for in the beginning. So the word Genesis actually means in the beginning, because the book of Genesis is the beginning of all things. Right? God is this beginning work, in the beginning, God, right? And as we get into Exodus, we're gonna see what it means to actually walk with God. Right, that's what all of Exodus is going to be about, is our walk with Him. And we're going to hopefully learn from the Israelites about how they walked with God, how we can walk in a better way. We tend to walk in a similar way, but we want to walk in a better way as we walk with Him. But Genesis is this beginning of all things. And so as we go through these books, and today we're really focusing on this, how can we be the best version of ourselves for God? Well, here's how we can do it. Who is God, and how do we reflect that to the world? Because the best version of us is going to look like Jesus. The best version of you is to be the one that has the most love, compassion, the most knowledge of God. That sort of Christ alive in us is going to be the best version of us. And so as we dive in here, we're going to know one thing. Here's the theme of this week. God is the creator. Do you believe that? God is the creator. The world doesn't believe this. The world does believe that in the beginning there was a bang. In the beginning, nothing became something. We know in the beginning, God. And He spoke and bang, it was here, right? So we know God was there in the beginning and that all things were created through Him and for Him. And so we see that here in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What does it mean for us to believe that God is our creator? It means this: if you wanted to start something new in 2022, that rhymed, that was pretty cool. If you want to start something new, then go to the creator. Go to the one who made you, the one who gave you purpose, the one who breathed life into you. We need to go to Him to find that joy and love. Now, if we go into the world to try to get our start in 2022, what is the world going to say to us? Here's a picture of kind of what the world says to us on a very popular calendar theme. This is what the world says. It's all about you being happy. Do you believe this is is this the truth that we should live by? It doesn't matter if it's a relationship, lifestyle, or job. If it doesn't make you happy, let it go. to go. Get out of it, right? Is that what it, the wisdom that we live by? Like if your marriage isn't making you happy, just let it go, right? If that friend that's really challenging you in the scripture, that doesn't make me happy today, I'm going to let it go. Is that the truth that we live by? Or is biblical truth different? Biblical truth is about the calling that God's given us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of Jesus Christ with endurance. And guess what? Endurance leads to maturity, right? That's what James 1 talks about. You consider it pure joy when you face trials because those trials develop perseverance, which develops maturity in us. So if you want to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ, we've got to be ready to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of Jesus Christ this upcoming year. So how can we do that? Let me give you two tips that the Lord has given for my life personally. This is two challenges the Lord's given me, and hopefully they'll be an encouragement to you. Here's the first tip for getting a better version of you. Number one, recognize God's creative work. And as studying Genesis and studying the way that God has created, are you ready to recognize the creative work of God all around us? Psalm 19, verse 1, very popular verse, right? It talks about the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. Night after night, they pour forth speech. Day after day, they declare knowledge. I think I wrote backwards, but that's okay. There's no language where their voice is not heard. That when you look at creation, you should see God. It just screams it out to us. Colossians 1, verse 15, says something very similar to that. It talks about Christ, that's the He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Right? This is talking about Jesus. And then through Jesus, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether the thrones or dominions or rulers or authority, all things were created through him and for him. All of creation screams out Jesus. It was all created through him, for him. He is before all things. And in him all things hold together. This is Jesus. So as we look at the world, whether you're in Hawaii looking at black sand beaches, or you're sitting in your office and the canary, the cardinals and the blue jays fly up, whether you're looking at your children, the creation of God is all around us that we should be able to celebrate how good God is. And every time we see that creative nature of God, we should be able to celebrate him. That means that I need to spend more time outside. That means I need to spend more time seeing the beauty of God at work and the people that are around us. Because if you look at verse 26 in chapter 1, we see that you are in creation of God. It says this, and then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. I just love the creeping things. I just love that. I mean, I don't really like them when they show up in the house, but I like this creeping things that's in this word. Do you realize that you are a creation of God? That God created you with a purpose? In fact, in Genesis 1, in the Garden of Eden, what was the purpose? They were to work and to keep the garden. Right? Now, this word work in Hebrew is the word abad. Which sounds like, yeah, work, oh, bad, that sounds bad. But it's not what it means, right? It means to work or to serve. Do you realize you were created to work? You were created to create like the Creator. You were made in order to create work and to serve the people around you, to serve the creation that God has given us. The second thing is the word keep, which actually means to put a hedge around. It means that we were created to not only work, but also to protect, to care for, to nurture. That we were created, God has given us an innate desire to be creative, to work, to serve, to nurture, to protect. That God has given us that desire inside of us. So we have a responsibility, don't we? If we are an image bearer of God, there's two responsibilities, I think, that are really, two implications that are really important to us. Here's the first one. You're not going to be satisfied with the things of this world. If you are created in the image of God, the things of this world are not going to satisfy you. We see this in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, as we see this epic rant about there's a time for this and a time for that, a time for war, a time for love, all these things. That he says this next to us, that he has made all things beautiful, in its time, but he has put eternity in the hearts of men. So you're only going to be satisfied with eternal things. What are those eternal things? Right? It's the Word of God. It is a relationship with Jesus Christ. The only way you're going to find true satisfaction is through Jesus. We know this. We know this. How many of y'all, I don't know, maybe you shouldn't raise your hand on this one, just like gave into the sweets over Christmas? Like there's just sweets everywhere and you're like, you know what? I'll start on January 1st, right? And so you just like, you had some fun. Those Christmas trees, Reese's trees, whew, in the freezer, delicious, right? Those cookies, y'all were so kind while we were sick to bring over food and it was delicious, but everybody brought dessert. And we did not, we wanted to honor your gift to our family. We wanted to honor that. And I just ate. So yesterday, first day of the new year, right? Less of me, right? So I'm not going to eat sweets today. Not going to eat. All day long, I craved it. Have you ever tried to get off of sugar? It's just like it calls your name. It's just like, Chris, over here. Secret stash in the closet, right? The secret candy stash. It's just all day long. I made it almost all day long. But today's a new day, right? Today's a new day. Going to start again. New day, right? But it just calls you. The things in this world, they just keep calling to you. Whether you try to drown away your problems in alcohol or whether you chase after things on the internet or whatever that desire of this world is that tries to pull you in, it's never going to satisfy. The only thing that's going to truly satisfy is Jesus Christ. The study of his word, the eternal things, developing relationships with other people, discipling them, helping them to grow into maturity with Christ. Here's the second thing. If we are truly image bearers, right? Sons and daughters of the King, we're representatives of the Creator God of the universe. We have a responsibility to live like that. Look at this verse out of James 3. This is so convicting to me this week. James 3 is starting in verse 8. It talks about the tongue, right? Isn't it hard to tame the tongue? Not just the taste of sugar, but the things that we say, right? It says this, no human being can tame the tongue, for it's a restless evil full of deadly poison. Sticks and stones don't break my bones, but words will always hurt me. Isn't that how the saying goes? Oh, maybe it's different, but that's what it really means. But listen to what it says. With it we bless the Lord and God our Father, right? With it we sing praises to the Lord, and with it we curse people who are made in the image of God. Oh, let it not be so. How could we leave a time of worship and studying God's word and get mad at the waiter or waitress at the restaurant we go to after? Or get mad at the driver on the way home that cut us off? Whew, convicting to me this week. I'm just telling you, join in my conviction, okay? What we say about the image bearers of God, whew, shouldn't we be celebrating the diversity of God's creation? We should be celebrating all the incredible colors and designs and cultures that are out in our world today. We should be able to celebrate those things. See the beauty of God's design and all those things. We have to be careful about our tongue. Be careful because it's like a little spark, doesn't it? That starts a great fire. Our tongue and the way that we react to things. Nowadays, instead of our tongue, maybe it's the comment back to someone. Maybe the angry email back to someone. We got to be careful that because we're image bearers of him. We're created to reflect the glory of God in our lives. And that's what Genesis chapter 1 is all about. Living in Eden, we see this beautiful, incredible creation. We're made as image bearers of God, and that lasts for a good two chapters till we get to chapter 3. Okay. Then we get into chapter 3, and we know this what this is called, right? It's called the fall, right? Because all of a sudden, what happened in Eden gets broken. All of creation, the design of God gets broken really quickly, right? Because what we have here is what God says as a covenant. God gives a covenant to mankind in this verse. Now, covenant's a word you're going to see a lot as we go through the book of Exodus. And so I want to present it to you this way. It's this idea of God making a contract with man. Right, this idea of covenant is God presents kind of the conditions of the covenant, and with that, those conditions, there's blessings, but also consequences for breaking the covenant. Right, for example, in Genesis chapter 3, the covenant's real easy. Don't eat or you're going to die. You can eat of all the trees that are in the garden, every single one of them. Great, but this one tree, don't eat of that or surely you will die. Covenant, right? Do this or this. And what happens? They do this. Now, why? Why would Adam and Eve go do that? Why? And I think there's something that we can learn from them, that behind a lot of our sin and behind a lot of our thinking is this idea that God is holding out on us. We may not even understand that we believe this, but sometimes we think, well, God doesn't have our best interest in mind. I mean, he made this tree. He gave us all the other trees, but I want that one. I want this. And we trade in a rich relationship with God to get something that makes us like God, who makes us God of our own creation. But think about that. Do you think that God has your best interests in mind? Or do you think that God's holding out on you? Like I talk to youth all the time who think God's holding out on them because he won't let them just have sex with whoever they want to at any point. Like, why would God reserve that just for marriage? Because God has a plan. God knows what sex outside of those things will do to our world, how it will wreck the world that we live in. God has designed things with a purpose to bring unity, intimacy inside of a relationship that when it's used outside of it, wrecks things. And yet for some reason, do we really trust God? If we did, wouldn't we do it? If we did trust God that he had our best interest in mind, we would do it all the time. And yet we, many times like Adam and Eve, we chase the wrong things. Let's look at the story starting in verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, did God actually say you should not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Misquote, right? Did God say you couldn't touch it? No, he said you should not eat of that tree. And here's the continuation. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she believed her eyes more than she believed the word of God, the word spoken by God directly to Adam, relayed to Eve, and that it was delight to the eyes, and that the tree was destined to make one wise, that they could become like God if they ate it. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. They went from freedom, absolute freedom, seeing the world completely different, to now the world being broken. Then all of a sudden experiencing shame. Instead of being unashamed, they now looked at one another and like tried to cover up. Shame and guilt began to come in. But we know one who takes that away, don't we? We sang about it earlier. There's only one who can, who's Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is actually in this story. If you go down to verse 15, right, we see what's called the Proto-Evangelicum. The first gospel presentation is here in verse 15. 3:15, good one to memorize and put on your mind. It says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your heel, your head, but you shall bruise his heel. This idea of that Satan was going to strike at Christ, but Christ was going to get the ultimate victory through the resurrection and the cross. This picture planting the seed early in Genesis that was going to be future fulfilled in that point. And from this point on, from the fall on, we begin to see this downward spiral into sin. In chapter 4, we see Cain and Abel bringing offerings to God. The offering wasn't as good for Cain as it was for Abel, and Cain became jealous and angry and killed his brother. We see the world begin to go into more and more chaos until chapter 6, when we see the wickedness on the earth at its fever pitch. Look what it says in verse 5 of chapter 6. Like I said, we're skipping through a bunch of stuff here. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. That sounds bad. That's a bad state of the world, isn't it? That the intensity, the evil was continually on their hearts and on their mind day by day. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. We're going to talk about this effect of our actions on God throughout the entire book of Exodus. So just file that away until we start getting into it in the book of Exodus. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And of course, we know what happens next, right? We put it on the walls in our nurseries. Isn't that weird? Did anybody strike that as weird? Like, God kills everyone, except for 8 people. But put in our kids' nursery. I don't know. Maybe it's not weird to y'all. It's weird to me. Okay. Got a giraffe with a long neck out the window. I mean, that's cute. But anyway, we see the whole world wiped out through the flood, right? Except for Noah and his family going through, living on the ark, clean animals, unclean animals, God's creation continues. And then verse 8, we see the next part. We have the Edenic covenant, this idea of don't eat or you'll die. And now we see the Noahic covenant, this covenant that God's going to make with Noah and all of mankind, starting in chapter 9, verse 8. And this covenant is different because there's no conditions on this covenant. Look what he says in verse 8. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark, for it is every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you that never shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And the Lord said, this is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And I will bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds. And I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature and all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. And so God makes a covenant that when we see a rainbow in the sky, this is going to be God's promise to us that he's going to be faithful and not destroy the world because of the wickedness and because of the sin that is all around us today. And so when we see that symbol, we should be able to celebrate what God is doing. Now, I know the world redefines a lot of things, but it doesn't have to redefine it for us. We could continue to see the glory of God every time that we see his sign in the sky and we see his sign to be able to celebrate how incredible God is, that he shows us mercy. And this is a good promise to us. You want to know why? Look at Luke chapter 17, verses 26 and 27, where it talks about how we, even in our time, are living in the days of Noah. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. That while people are eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all, that people in our world are going to continue to live, but their hearts are going to continue to spiral, and there's going to be more intention of evil, the more intention of the world out there that's going to lead us towards the point where wickedness becomes their every thought at every moment. But let it not be so with God's people. We want to be faithful. We want to find the favor of the Lord just as Noah did. And so we see God's promise to never destroy the earth again, and so we would believe it, right? In fact, Noah's sons and his family, when they start again, they're going to be like, you know what? I remember what happened. We're going to live for God the rest of the days of our life, right? They don't make it very far again. Look at chapter 11, right? What's called the story of the Tower of Babel. Now, before we get into chapter 11, this is where we're going to kind of close out. I need you to realize something about Genesis. Genesis is not written completely in chronological order. For example, if you read Genesis 10, you'll see all these people groups that have already been put out by nations and languages and things like that. And then you see in chapter 11, the story of the Tower of Babel. We've seen this before. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6, and then he rested. And then chapter 2, we go back into day 6 and we see the creation of mankind. We see kind of a zoom in of the story. So many times as you go through the book of Genesis, they'll tell a story and then they'll zoom back into that story and tell more details about what's going on. And that's what's happening here in chapter 11. They're zooming back in. But underneath of all of this, they see a distrust of God. They distrust that God's not going to destroy them once again. Because here's what's interesting. They had this new technology in Babylon, this Tower of Babel in the land of Shinar. It's called a brick. New technology. Crazy. You're like, what? That's not technology. Let me give you an example. Many of you have been to Honduras. If you haven't been to Honduras, you need to go to Honduras sometime during your time here at the church. An amazing ministry. Talk to Rudy. He could help you get hooked up with what's going on in Honduras. But in Honduras, they are so clever and so creative. Their houses are made out of mud, because that's the building material that they have up in the mountains. So they have sticks, and they'll kind of run a frame, and then they'll just pack mud over the top of it and make their houses. And then the roofs will be, you know, different leaves, because they have huge leaves from mango trees, or mango, right? Pretty, that's how I'm supposed to say it. Mango trees, and different things like that. And so it's just, they're so creative with those things. In fact, many of the churches that we've helped build up in the mountains are just made of mud. One of them in Oruaco, where Edwin is our pastor at that church, man, they did amazing work getting that church put together. It's a pretty good size building, probably a couple garage size, which is huge up in the mountains. But over the hurricanes, right, mud and water don't do so well together. And so their church, part of their church has actually collapsed, where they can't even use their church anymore. And one of our goals in going to Honduras in this next year will be to help rebuild some of those things and hopefully get cinder blocks or this new technology called bricks, right, to go there and to build it up. Because when you have a mud walls, you don't build second stories, right? Because the first story can't carry the weight of that. But this new technology called bricks has allowed them to build this multi-level tower that's going to help protect them from future floods. Because after Noah and after his time, people began to settle in the land of Shinar. Now, this land of Shinar is where Babylon is. We know this from Daniel chapter 1, right? When Jehoiakim was the king and Nebuchadnezzar came and he conquered them and he took the young men away and brought them to the land of Shinar, which is where Babylon was located, between the Tigris and Euphrates. And so they began to settle in this land, and here's what the people said when they settled there in verse 4. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the earth." So what is their goal? To make a city for themselves and to make a name for themselves, right? And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they will produce or propose to do will now be impossible to them." We have to beware of this. Unified sin or unified disobedience is dangerous, because it'll lead people to do things that are just beyond even our comprehension that people will do because of their sin. Why? Because they come to unity in their sin. And here, they want to create a huge tower into the heavens so they can, number one, be like God. Number two, they can be their own protector. And isn't that happened to us oftentimes? We want to be our own protector instead of trust God to be our protector. And really the bottom line is we have some of the same struggles that the people that are building this tower have. We want to be our own God, little g, God, instead of really trusting God with our future. I trust in He has the best for us. And so God comes down, right? He sees their little tower, because remember, the earth is His footstool. So is God scared of a tower? No, right? But He comes down, and so at this point, right, He says this, "Come, let us go down," and then confuse their language so they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. And so God comes down and begins, he creates people groups, which again is something we should celebrate. All these incredible languages, incredible people groups, incredible colors and styles and cultures and foods, all those things would be things that we as the people of God celebrate and are excited about. And here God's like, okay, I'm going to put these people over here and I'm going to disperse them and change their language and put them in certain areas. And people often will ask me, well, if after Noah's flood, how did people get to Australia? How did people get to the Americas? You know, they're not attached. You can't just like drive a car over, which they didn't have cars back then, right? You can't just take a horse over there. And so what happens? God here disperses them. Says, therefore, its name, this is place, is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. And so God put the people groups together in all areas of the earth. And this is something that we, as a people of God, should be able to celebrate as we see God's creative work all around us. And here's the second tip that I have for you, and we'll close with this. As thinking about what it would mean for us to be the best version of ourselves. Number one, see God's creative work. Number two, set your mind on biblical things. This is a challenge God's given me for this new year, is to continually renew my mind, to set my mind on biblical things, not let my mind wander into other things. And we're going to see a lot of this next week as we begin to dive into Abraham as God creates a people for himself. But I want to leave you with one encouraging verse out of Colossians chapter 3. It says this, then if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Don't be like the people of the Tower of Babel. They set their hope on bricks. We set our hope on God. We don't desire to make a home in the heavens for ourselves. We desire to someday be with God who is sitting at the right hand of God. It says this, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Is Christ your life? When Christ, who is your life, appears, then we will appear with him in glory. That's our challenge. Understand the creative work of God and celebrate it. Number two, daily set our mind on the things of God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, who spurs us on and encourages us to be in your word, to be celebrating the things that are going on all around us. Lord, I pray that in this new year, I'll be able to see you at work all around us, in the beauty of the creation and the faces of those that I have a chance to meet with and discuss with. Lord, I pray that we'll be able to see you at work in all of them. Lord, I pray that day by day we'll be able to set our minds on things that are above, not to get caught up in the earthly things and things that are happening all around us that will never satisfy us. Lord, help us to celebrate the name of Jesus day by day. So Lord, I pray for us in this new year, 2022, Lord, that you'll help us to find revival in our own hearts, in our own minds, in our families. Lord, help us to have a new life in you. We pray all this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Church, it has been a joy to be able to worship with you this morning. I have one quick announcement for us as we get ready to go. We are back this Wednesday with Refuge. And so if you have a 7th through 12th grader, if you are a 7th through 12th grader, please come join us at Refuge, our youth ministry here at Fellowship Church. We meet here at the church from 6:30 to 9 p.m., and we would love for you to come and join us. If you have any questions about that, please come talk to me. I would love to get you plugged in to what we are doing in youth ministry. Church, we love you. We hope you have a great week. You are dismissed.